tonight as we come to our study of God's Word and we continue in our study of the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to look with me at two parallel passages tonight. I'm going to ask you, first of all, if you would, to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And when you have found Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to invite you to mark Matthew chapter 7. And then I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 6. So Matthew chapter 7, put a mark there, and then turn over to Luke chapter 6. For the sake of our study tonight, we're going to begin in Luke chapter 6. We'll later reference the gospel in Matthew. I want you to follow along as I begin reading, though, in Luke chapter 6. We're going to begin our reading in verse 46 and read down through verse 49. Luke chapter 6, verse 46, down through verse 49. And after we have read that passage, we'll bow together in a word of prayer. Luke 6, 46 says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man which without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." Let's pray together as we begin tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we can come and study together again the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that is given to us in this Word. We thank you, Lord, for the parables of our Savior. We thank you for His instruction and His teaching to us. We thank you, Lord, that His desire is that we would grow thereby, that we would build our lives upon a solid rock. Father, we ask and pray tonight that you would guide us in the truth, that you would teach us and help us tonight. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it. We commit ourselves in this time now unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. We have just read the account of the wise and the foolish builder in Luke's account found in chapter 6. The passage in Matthew is much more familiar to us as it comes at the close of the Sermon of the Mount. And I want you to follow along as we turn there for now. Matthew chapter 7, please, beginning in verse 24. Matthew chapter 27, let me invite you to follow along as I read, and then we'll consider the truth that these passages teach us. In Matthew's account, it's recorded this way, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Both of these accounts refer to the same truth, although there are some variations in the accounts, but the clarity of which the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching remains consistent. One of the reasons for the variations in these two passages, which really share the same story, really revolves around the authors and their audience. You need to remember that Matthew is writing as a Jew to Jewish believers that were familiar with the land of Palestine. Matthew is most likely referring to a common error that would be made by a foreigner who would come in and settle in Palestine, and they were unfamiliar with the seasons and the terrain. In the summer months in Palestine, there would be certain low-lying areas that would be very appealing to people. It would seem easy to come in there and there to settle and there to build. The land was flat. It was easy to settle on. But the main problem with those low-lying areas was that when the rainy season would come, those low-lying areas really became the beds of rivers. And so they would build their house in those areas, but when the rains begin to fall, the floods would begin to come. And all who were settled there on the sand, so to speak, would find their house to be washed away. And certainly anyone who knew the terrain and knew the area would be wise if they would go a little higher in the ground and find a rock and there build upon the rock. As Luke shares this story in his account, he is referring to a more universal audience, and as such, he speaks in more universal terms. Luke is referring to a wise man who, upon building a house, takes the time and he makes the investment to dig down deep until he finds the bedrock, and upon that rock he builds his home. A fool, according to Luke's story, takes no thought for the foundation. He simply builds his house upon the earth. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, in teaching this story, is going to help us see the very simple truth upon which we ought to build our lives. We have what is commonly called the parable of the wise and the foolish builder. Before us is a choice that we can either build wisely our lives, or we can build our lives foolishly upon things which are no foundation. Therefore, tonight I want to discover what kind of life we are building. And I want to ask you tonight to be willing to evaluate your own life and see, what kind of life am I building? Am I building upon the rock, or am I building upon the sand, upon the earth? And we want to be able to conceive some principles for us to consider. As we begin tonight, I want us to start by seeing the principle that needs to be pondered. The principle to be pondered. As we consider the parable of the wise and the foolish builders, we find that there is a central thought or a theme that needs to be pondered in the life of every believer. The Lord Jesus Christ, in laying forth this parable, associates the builders with a certain action. And it is the action which will determine what type of builder we will be known by. I want you to turn back to Luke's account and look again with me at verse 46 and 47. The Lord Jesus begins this section and says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. He is a wise man." Luke shares with us the reality that there is an action. And the wise builder who builds his life upon a rock is associated with that action. Matthew says it this way in his account, "Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man." So what is the action? It is the one who not only hears the word of God, but one who does what God says. So the parable and the central theme is that we are building our lives wisely when we build our lives upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We not only hear his sayings, but we also do them. So the key component in this parable is the concept of doing. James warns us that we are not to simply be a hearer of the word of God, but we are to be doers also. There are many today who are enamored with the teachings of the Lord. There are many who will come into churches like ours and sit through the sermon of the preacher. They will willingly hear the truth. But the problem is, it's not simply that we hear, but that we do. There are countless Christians who will wake up tomorrow morning. They will begin their week with a time of devotion. They will begin their week with a time of Bible reading. They'll be able to pull out their checklists and knock off another day of their Bible reading. They'll read through their 3, their 4 chapters of the Scripture. And many will even, through the portion of their reading, hear the Lord speak unto them. He'll bring out a verse, he'll bring out a passage, and he'll begin to speak to them on certain things. Yet they will go off into their week and soon forget what they have heard. There are some here today who may have sat through the sermons today, may have even been convicted that there is something that needs to change in their life. Yet they will not do what God's Word says. The Bible says that a wise man who builds his life properly is one who not only hears the words of the Lord, but one who puts those words into action. It is not simply that we acknowledge them. It is not simply that I accept them. I must learn to apply the truth of God's Word. And the Lord Jesus says that the wise man who builds his house upon a rock is one who hears his sayings and he does them. The principle that the Lord wants us to ponder, clearly stated in Luke's account, is, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Why do you come and hear the words of God, but never put them into practice? Why is it that we can be convicted by truth and never follow through? I hope you understand what we're really finding here in these two passages. We know Matthew 7 a little better because we recognize Matthew 5, 6, and 7 as the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus Christ is laying out the principles for His kingdom. He is giving to those who are willing to follow Him the implementation of all that they must do as they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He begins there in Matthew chapter 5 with the wonderful reality that those who follow Christ must understand the importance of godly character. So he gives to them those wonderful beatitudes, all which focus upon the character of life. By the way, can I just say this to you? We've mentioned it many times before, but character really counts. We mentioned it this morning. It's the most important thing that God is concerned with in your life. It's the character of life. And if we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a need for us to hear Christ's instruction and allow His character to be developed in us. And at the end of that sermon, at the end of those teachings, the Lord Jesus Christ poses the question, "Why do you call me Lord, yet refuse to do that which I have told you?" Those who will hear and do are wise men who build their house upon rock. But those who hear and do not are like a foolish man who would build his house upon the dried up bed of a river and not expect it to wash away when the rainy season comes. We are to hear the words of God and do them. Charles Spurgeon gives the following warning of talking without practice. He refers to it as a temptation that we all must fight. Hear what he said. "The common temptation is, instead of really repenting, to talk about repentance. Instead of heartily believing, to say, 'I believe,' without believing. Instead of truly loving, to talk of love without loving. Instead of coming to Christ, to speak about coming to Christ and profess to come to Christ, and yet not to come at all." There are many within the realm of religion who know how to talk the talk. They know the right words to say. Oh, they give assent to the teachings of the Lord, but they're never applied. We talk a good talk about confessing our sin, yet we allow sin to go unchecked within our life. Oh, we talk a good talk about loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, but yet we look at them and say, be clothed and be warmed, and then we provide them no food nor clothing. Oh, we talk a good talk about loving our wives as Christ loved the church, and yet throughout the week we show that we are more concerned with self and our selfishness than the spouse to whom God has given. Oh, we talk about the importance of training our children, but yet it becomes an inconvenience to us to take the time out of our day to spend and discipline them, to take the time out of our day to pray with them, and to teach them the truth of God's Word. Oh, we're good at talking the talk. But the Lord Jesus said that those who hear my sayings and do them, they are the wise men. Christian, I ask you tonight to ponder, what are you doing with the Word of God which you hear? What are you doing with the Word of God when you take that time to have your daily devotions and read it for yourself and the Spirit of God begins to speak expressly to you? Are you a doer of the Word of God? Or are you simply a hearer? The answer to that question, determines whether you are building your life wisely or foolishly. The Lord Jesus Christ claims that the only foundation that is wise to build upon is the foundation of Him alone. He has given all of us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has left us explicit instruction for holiness of life. He's given us instruction for family relations. He has told us instructions for employment and for a proper work ethic. He has given us the guidelines for education, the guidelines for finance, for every area of our life. We must then be willing to take that truth, those principles, those precepts, and build our lives upon them. It's not enough to simply hear and not do. It's not enough to acknowledge them as true, but not apply them in our own lives. God says that a wise man is one who hears and one who obeys. It's not enough to call Him Lord if we will not obey Him. Because folks, if we won't obey Him, He is not Lord. Understand that? Right. To call Him Lord and not obey is to make Him not Lord of your life. To hear His Word and do nothing with it and to not do what His Word says, it's not to follow His instruction, His teaching, and Himself. A wise man not only hears, but he will do. To refuse is like a foolish man, again, who builds upon dried up riverbed and somehow thinks that the house will be safe in the rainy season. It's like a man who refuses to take the time and dig down deep in order to put his house upon the rock, but instead simply sets it upon the earth. And then we begin to wonder why our house would fall. The Lord reminds us that great is the fall of it. Folks, you're either building your life today wisely or foolishly. Oh, it's good to come and hear the Word of God as it's proclaimed. It's a wonderful blessing to be able to open up your Bible each day of the week and to be able to read the Word of God and to have the Spirit of God to speak to you. But folks, it's of no benefit if you won't obey it. It really does you no value to simply acknowledge that it's true, to accept that it's true, and then never apply it to the way that you live. Because folks, the truth can't help you until it's put into action. And God says that we are foolish to hear and not to obey. Next, I want you to see with me our problem with the principle. We're called to ponder the principle, but there's a natural question that I think arises from the principle. Why don't more people build their lives more wisely? Because, folks, here's the reality. The vast majority of people, even Bible-believing Christians, are more than likely hearing and not doing. I don't know if you would agree with that statement, but I think it's true. I think if there were more people that were hearing and doing, I think the Church of Jesus Christ would be a different place today. I think our families would be different places today. I think the generations that have followed us would be different today. I think our schools and our youth groups would be different places today. But many will hear but not do. Are you building your house wisely today upon the rock of Jesus Christ? Why is it that so many seem to struggle with these things? Well, I think our passages give us a couple thoughts to consider. I want you to consider really three reasons with me. Number one, we are prone to procrastinate. One of the reasons we struggle to not be doers of the word is because we are prone to procrastinate. We're brought forward to encounter this principle of Christ that we are to not only be hearers of the word but doers also. And our problem is we tend towards procrastination. By our very nature, we tend to want to put off to tomorrow what should be done today. We tend and are prone to procrastinate. The Lord Jesus declared that we are willing to call Him Lord, but yet we struggle to do what He said. There are many who will come and listen to Jesus speak, but then to get up immediately and to do what He says, well, that's another story. We hear it, we acknowledge it, we might even accept it, but we tend to forget it and not do it. I want you to listen to a description that Neil Lightfoot gives in his study of the parable as he says the following. It is a wonderful experience, of course, to delight in listening to the Word of God, to grasp with joy every word as it is read and proclaimed. Such a hearer is awakened out of his dull complacency and is transported to a higher realm of life. The Word of God pierces his conscience, and he resolves to live a better life. God touches his life through the word as it is preached, and he receives a blessing. But his blessing may turn into his condemnation if he fails to put into action the lessons he has gained. Our problem, folks, is we tend to procrastinate. How many times have you been convicted by the Word of God as it's been proclaimed? And within your heart you said, this time I'm going to change. How many times has God convicted you of the same thing week after week in a sermon? This is the week I'm going to change. It's all going to start tomorrow. Right? God gets a hold of our heart, and tomorrow I will begin afresh and anew. We tend to put off until tomorrow. We tend to procrastinate. We're not willing to act upon it immediately. We put it off saying, I'm going to get to that this week. You know what? This week I got to call that person. The Lord's just placed it upon my heart, and I need to go and confess my faults to them. I know I've harmed them. I know I've done them wrong. I'm going to go take care of that this week. You know what? I think I'm going to call them up later this week, and we're going to have a cup of coffee together. We're going to sit down, and we're going to work it all out. I'm going to do it later. We tend to procrastinate. We tend to put things off. And folks, that's a problem. The Lord Jesus says, you call me Lord, but you don't do. You put it off. Folks, when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us through His Word, the time of our action should be immediate. If God places it upon your heart that you have offended or sinned against a brother or sister in Christ, and they're not in the room at the end of a service, you need to go and find a phone and call them and say, you know what? The Lord has convicted me tonight. You know, sir, if you're sitting down and realizing that there's problems within your family, and there are things that you haven't been doing right, and God begins to convict that, it is not that you go home and sit down Monday night and talk to the family. You go home Sunday night and you deal with it and by God's grace put the things in action. But we are prone to procrastinate. And we put things off. And when we put things off, we tend to forget. There's a second problem. We are too often nearsighted. In Matthew's gospel, the foolish builder did not take the time to consider what was coming in the future. He was only consumed with what he wanted today. To him, that low-lying place looked like a great place to build. It would be easy. It was already prepared. There would be little effort on his part. This must certainly be the perfect spot to build. In his mind, he wondered why everyone else had missed out on such a prime opportunity. It's the perfect place. At least for today it was. And we tend to be a little nearsighted. He never considered the winter rains. He never considered that the area of ease would someday soon be overcome with the floodwaters of tomorrow. Yes, it is true that we are not to be anxious about tomorrow. You and I don't need to worry about that which we cannot change. But that doesn't mean, folks, that you and I should not consider our steps and walk wisely. Remember Ephesians 5 and verse 15? See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. God expects us to consider our steps. He considers us to make wise decisions. William Barclay reminds us of this truth. All through life, we are constantly confronted with a choice between two goods. That which is good for the moment, and that which for the moment may be difficult and demanding, but which is good in the long run. Part of the problem why we struggle to be doers of the word is because we tend to be nearsighted. We don't take the long term in view. We fail to obey Christ because we cannot see afar off. We choose the path that seems easiest for the time being, and we forget to consider the consequences of those choices. Folks, you know that's true in every area of life. A student that chooses to play instead of study is going to later regret and wish he had given more time to his studies. That's usually going to happen around test time, when the pressures begin to mount and the reality of failure becomes imminent. I always find it funny as I teach and work with kids. You remind them, you tell them this is what's coming. They even know in advance. But you can begin to see about 10 minutes before the test, little beads of sweat beginning to form. You know the ones which studied, and you know the ones who took the time to play the night before. You know, when you put off that which is good in the long run for that which seems to be good for the moment, in the end, you begin to regret that down the road. We choose in our youth to sow our wild oats and to live wildly instead of working hard and living right. Yet when we get older, we begin to reap those oats that have been sown, and we begin to regret it. We begin to wish we had lived and done things differently. You know, it's true in the area of finances. It's true in the area of our family and in our marriage. We would rather put those things aside and hope that in the end it's all going to turn out okay. Because we'd rather do that which is easy and seems to be so good for the moment in time. And we forget the future and the consequences of the choices that we make. Our problem is that we're too often nearsighted. We need to learn to take a long-term view. The Lord Jesus likens those who are nearsighted to a man who would build his house upon a riverbed when it's dry. What a foolish thing to do. Third, we often are not hearers of the word because we're not willing to count the cost. In Luke's account, the wise man took the time and he dug down deep until he found the bedrock. Then he built his house. The foolish man simply looked for the easy way. But a wise man counts the cost. He accepts the cost, and they're well worth it in the long run. It'll take more time. It may take more effort. But in the end, the result far outweighs the cost. I learned a lesson years ago. It simply sounds like this. Buy cheap, buy twice. Ever hear that statement? Buy cheap, buy twice. Now, I'll be honest with you. I like a good bargain. I don't mind getting a good bargain. But a cheap price doesn't guarantee a good bargain. When you buy cheap in quality, you're going to buy it twice. You ever learn that? Ever been doing a project around home and we'll cut the corners on this one. Ever regret that? Usually do. I remember years ago, as I was working for my home church, we were doing things and maintenance, and the church was looking to save some money. So they asked me to find a way to get some cheap paint. I said, okay. Color is not an option. No problem. Whatever you get, you get. So I called up places. What do you have? Well, we got a whole bunch of stuff that is, well, improperly mixed. Half cans that were brought back. You can have it all. Cheap. Awesome. I did my job. That's what I was instructed to do. I took the church's pickup truck. I filled it up. I brought it back. I took it in to the assistant pastor and said, now what do you want me to do? Find the matching colors and mix them. Okay, there's different types of paint. Some of it's flat, some of it's semi-gloss, some of it's eggshell. As long as the colors are the same, pour it together. Now, I knew with those instructions we were going to have problems. It was a bargain, but I painted it. Because I was told to paint it. I've always learned to obey. That's a good thing. I'll paint it. You told me to. A couple weeks later, they came to me and said, why did you paint it like that? You told me to paint that color on that wall. Well, we got to go buy some new paint because that looks awful. I told you that was going to look awful. But okay. You say, well, you didn't have to buy the first bit of paint. But you know what? They paid twice because they paid me twice to paint it. Buy cheap, buy twice. Sometimes, folks, you got to consider the cost. And sometimes it's worth putting in a little bit more effort and a little bit more time in order to get the right product. You know, in the spiritual life, that's true. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. No one ever said study was easy. Be honest with you, folks. It's a whole lot easier to pick up your Bible tomorrow morning and just read it. Four chapters will take you about 20 to 25 minutes if you're a slow reader. Not much time invested. It's going to take a whole lot more time to study.
Amen. Amen.
But the investment is well worth it. I'll be honest with you, it's a whole lot easier to come to church, give an hour, two, or three a week, and listen to the pastor preach his sermons and walk out the door and say, "Good job today, Pastor. That was a real blessing to my heart." And never put it into practice. That's the easy way. We can feel good about ourselves. Came to church this week. Pastor did a pretty good job. He must be doing his work pretty well in there this week. He must have worked hard. That's pretty good. He did good this week. I enjoyed that. It was kind of a blessing to my heart. And that's as far as it goes. That's easy. It's a whole lot harder, folks, when we come and God says, "What my word just said is for you. And I designed that specifically for your need. Now, apply." I'm going to be honest with you, that's going to take you a good part of your week. It's a whole lot easier to forget than it is to apply. But a wise man considers the cost. We hear the word of God, and we're convicted by the truth, yet too often we're too lazy to put it into practice. We're afraid it's going to cost us too much. We have to be willing to count the cost if we're going to be hearers of the Word of God. I want to conclude tonight with a practical reality. In both passages, folks, there's one final consideration. And that consideration is this. No matter who you are, your life is going to be tested. Let me say that again. No matter who you are, your life is going to be tested. Both passages tell us that the rains came and the floodwaters beat upon the house. It doesn't matter where you build. You're going to be tested. Our lives will be tested. The rains will fall. The flood waters will rise. And your life will either stand the test or it will crumble. Folks, I have to be honest with you. It doesn't matter how big you build your life. If it's not built on the right foundation, it will fall. You don't believe that, folks. Consider the damage that has been done within Christianity when the big name pastors fall. People say, "How could they fall? Their life was built on sand." Somewhere in the process of their life, they were hearers and proclaimers, but they were not doers. And their life was no longer on the rock. And great is the fall of it. Big life, but it's a big fall. We are to build our lives upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason why is because every life will be tested. Every life will have trouble. Every life will have trials. Every life will have to deal with rain. And every life will have to deal with the floodwaters beating upon your house. And if there is no foundation, the life will crumble. It's not the problem of the rain. And it's not the fault of the flood. It's the fault of your foundation. The wise man builds his house on the rock. Who is that wise man? The man who hears the word of God and obeys the word of God. Folks, it's not enough to hear and then forget. It's not enough to acknowledge it and even call it truth. We have to put it into practice and apply it in our lives. A wise man hears and he obeys. We call him Lord and we do what he says. And our life is then built upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. The rains will come and the floods will beat upon the side of our house, but we'll stand because we've taken the time to count the cost. We've taken the time to consider our choices and the future and the consequence of those things. We are willing to do it today and not put it off to tomorrow. Our life is on the rock of Jesus Christ, and it will stand. By the way, one other thought that comes to my mind, there is often no warning as to when the rains begin to fall. You and I don't know when we're going to be tested, folks, but I'll guarantee you, you'll be tested. I can't tell you when, and sometimes there's no preparation for it. I was going and looking through some old news articles and things. I remember a picture not all that long ago, I believe down in Florida, all these people had built their homes on this beautiful little island. The only problem is when the tornadoes and the hurricanes came, everything that they built was gone because the little island was completely flooded and homes were lost. It's a beautiful location most weeks out of the year. But when a hurricane comes, it was the dumbest place you could have ever built a house. It doesn't matter how many millions of dollars you spent on it, it's still getting destroyed when you don't have a solid foundation. The same is true in your life and mine. The Lord Jesus wants us to ponder the principle that he who hears his word and does them not is a foolish man. But he who hears the word of God and does them, he is likened unto a wise man that builds his house on a rock. I'll ask you again tonight, are you building your life wisely or are you building it foolishly? The way to find that out is to ask this question. Am I doing what the Word of God says? Am I a hearer of the Word of God? If you hear and do, you're building your life wisely. But if you hear and refuse to do, the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ says, you're like a fool. And that's a strong statement for you and I to consider. Are you wise or are you a fool tonight? Let's pray.